Bible is filled with various things that most people never preach on. I just call them simply objects. And today is one that you may be familiar with. It's called a diadem. Many are familiar with that text in Proverbs that advises lazy people to go and study the ant to learn some important lessons on work. In the Bible, you find two creatures, ants and bees, that seem busy all the time, gathering and storing up food. It would seem that their motto might be, first things first, pleasures later, rest later. Right now, it's time to gather honey and go out as the ants do and gather in food. But you never find a scripture in Proverbs or any other book of the Bible that tells the ant to go to man to learn anything. It's not because we couldn't teach the ant anything, but because the ant just doesn't have a big enough brain for us to give this information to. We could not enable the ant to understand us. Now, in like manner, we find many instances where man is instructed in the Bible by God to be wise. But you never find any place in the Bible where God comes to man and asks for wisdom. In other words, I cannot teach God anything. God cannot learn anything from me. I'm like the ant compared to the man. The ant can teach the man something, but the man can't teach the ant something. Why? There is a limit of level of learning that the ant has. And there is a limit to what God can teach me, because there is a limit to what my brain can comprehend. But I sure cannot tell God what is right and what is wrong, what is best and what is good. God so far exceeds my brain, exceeds me, that I can teach him nothing. And yet he can teach me very much. Nowhere in the Bible does God ask man's opinion about anything. Now the ant can teach me how to be industrious, and the ant can teach me how to be organized, but I can't teach God anything. And then it appears that the minds of most people know about as much about God as the ant knows about man. Psalms 46:10, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Again, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 10, "Enter into the rock, hide thee in the dust, and the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty." Now that last part, the glory of his majesty, really doesn't ring any bell in our mind. What's he talking about? The glory of his majesty. We look at a spaceship and we talk about the glory of man's intelligence. What is the glory of God's majesty? What is he talking about? What is it he wants us to be still and learn about him? And while we're in Isaiah, let's move to the 28th chapter and verse 5. "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory." He'll crown himself with glory one of these days. Now notice, "and for a diadem of beauty." There's our object. "A diadem of beauty under the residue of his people." We have never seen the diadem beauty of our God. And only those in heaven at this moment are able to see that diadem glory. But man down here like the ant just does not have the brain capacity to comprehend diadem beauty and the majesty of Almighty God. We sing a song, maybe you do too, "Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." Now, the diadem is a special kind of crown. There are all kinds of crowns of glory. Every crown glorifies the person that puts the crown on. You have a Super Bowl diadem, in a sense. I don't want to use the word diadem. I'll tell you why in a minute. But you have a Super Bowl crown. You have a Miss America crown. But the diadem crown is only bestowed upon the Lord. For only God deserves the diadem crown. No man can win it. It's beyond our real comprehension. It denotes a glory and a beauty and a majesty unknown to man. Impossible for man not only to gain, but to comprehend. And when the diademed glory or the diadem crown is placed on God's head, the word that best explains what you have is awesome. Awesome. In our church, we sing another song, Our God is an Awesome God. And although we sing this song, I'm not real sure a lot of times we understand what we're saying when we say that. First time I heard that song, I said, that's a strange way to explain or describe God, to call him awesome. But then I wasn't real sure what the word awesome meant. So I went to the dictionary, and I found that awesome means that it is something that inspires in us awe. It's something that inspires in us a feeling of great reverence, a feeling of absolute wonder, a feeling of tremendous respect and fear. We have never seen anything to compare to that. That is what we would call awesome. When our mind is exposed to something extremely majestic, magnificent, tremendous, unbelievable, then you have the right to use the word awesome. Now, many times there are words that we just can't come up with words. Words fail us, for as we try to explain a certain event or a certain feeling or a certain picture, we just can't find the words to describe it, which means our imagination has its limits. And when it comes to God being able to wear the diadem crown, of God being that worthy, our imagination is on the level of the brain of the ant. We can only rise so high in our imagination as to how magnificent God is, and then our imagination must stop. We can't go beyond that. Our brain just can't think that way. The psalmist cries out, oh, the wisdom of God. Oh, the majesty of God. Oh, the power of God. Oh, the faithfulness of God. Oh, the ways of God. Oh, the glory of God. Who can understand it all? Now, we belong to no small God. Our God is an awesome God. Moses said, Exodus 15:11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Now, the only other people, not people, but the only other creatures in the Bible, little g's, little gods, are the fallen angels. And they all want to be gods. But comparing the diadem God with the little g gods, there's no contest. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Satan is a self-proclaimed god. He's not a god. Who is like thee, O Lord, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? This was part of the song of Moses following his deliverance of Israel through the divided Red Sea, when God rolled back the waters and the Israelites walked through on dry land. Moses realized, man, there is something about this God I didn't know. There is something awesome about this God. This God is able to have glory I've never realized. Divided is the sea, and the people walked through on dry land. The one great request that Moses had of God during his life was, let me see your glory, or let me see how awesome you are, God. And of course, as you know, God said, I can't do that. If I showed you my awesome diadem glory, you'd drop dead. You could not withstand what you saw. But he wanted God to pass before him wearing his diadem, showing him all of his majesty. And God said, I can't do that. I can't do that. Little ant, you can't take it. It'd be too much glory for you to stand. Now, Jesus, when he was on earth, told the people he spoke to, "No man has ever seen the Father in all of his splendor, in all of his glory, but himself." Only Jesus had witnessed the awesomeness, the diadem majesty of God the Father. And he said, "No one has ever seen the Father like I have seen the Father." Now, the Bible begins with the diadem crown on the head of God in Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, this tells us where the earth got its beginning, but it doesn't tell us where God got his beginning. Now, the Bible says God's name is Alpha and Omega, meaning from everlasting to everlasting. Now, I'm going to say something to you that this begins to show you how awesome God is. Some children ask, "Where'd God come from?" Are you ready? God came from nowhere. There was never a time when God did not exist. There was no beginning for God, and there is no end for God. Now, take your imagination as good as it is, and it says, "No way." I mean, everything must begin. It must have a beginning. But faith says, "Awesome, awesome God. He never did come into being. He's always been God." Folks, that blows my mind. How can that be? My faith just says, give him the diadem. Give him the diadem. Now, just two verses down in the same book of Genesis, we have another thing that we just cannot believe. Verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." How did God create? How did God create? Well, now you see the brainchild of man is that it was done by evolution. Having trouble with my throat, excuse me. It was done by evolution. That's a bunch of nonsense. It was done by awesome God. In his mind, he pictured light, sun, stars, moon, earth, trees, flowers, birds. And he just pictured these in his mind. And then he just said, "Let it be." And out of nowhere, out of nothing, his word made these things just pop into being. Pow, there they were. You say, "No way. No way." Hey, he is a awesome God. Give him the diadem. It says he did it with his word. And he said, "Let there be," and boom, there was. Now, folks, that's awesome. That's awesome. Psalms 29:4, "The voice of the Lord is powerful." Do you realize it's an awesome power? "The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." When they came to arrest Jesus, he just said, "I am the one you're looking for." And everybody fell on the ground who was his enemy. His voice, just his words, knocked them down. He didn't blow them down with his wind. He just spoke. And they all fell down, his enemies did, and hit the ground. Folks, that's awesome. That's awesome. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The dividing of the Red Sea was a simple thing for an awesome God. He just let the waters divide. Man says, "No way, no way." We're always trying to figure out how the Red Sea divide. Always trying to take God's miracle away from him. Listen, he's an awesome God. He's not a man-made little bitty God that can't do much more than you. He is an awesome God. Faith says, "Ah, praise him, he's awesome." Imagination says, "No way, no way." What about that time in eternity when God was all alone? In Genesis 1:1, it says, In the beginning, God created. Well, before he created anything, what was he doing? There were no angels. There was nothing but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three in one. There was no universe. There was nothing. There was just God. But he was self-sufficient. He was self-satisfied. He needed nothing. He needed no one. That's awesome. You say, well, then why did he create the angels? Why did he create the earth? Why did he create man? One simple reason. He wanted somebody, some creature, to recognize how awesome he was. He wanted to declare his great name. He wanted someone that could see his great majesty, to see his tremendous greatness. He wanted someone to see that diadem and enjoy what they saw. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Why did he do it? He wanted to bless his name. He was the great God. No one knew it. There was no one created to know it. But he wanted some creatures to recognize his great, awesome greatness. In this life, you and I can never understand or properly exalt the name of God as it deserves. In Psalms 44:7, the Bible says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. It's that last part that intrigues me. With understanding. The imagination can't understand praise. The imagination can't feature God being so great that he deserves a diadem. Only faith can praise God. The closest you will ever come to understanding the greatness of God is through faith. And faith can only take you so far. God did not have to reveal his glory, but he wanted to. And what I'm saying here is that one of the great joys of God and reasons that we were created is that we might have a chance to see that glory and all that splendor. He just wanted us to see it. And I haven't seen it yet. I've only seen about as much as the brain of an ant can see. And so this is something for you and for me to look forward to who are still on this earth. Boy, we have got something yet to see. We haven't seen this. This is an attraction. It's God's attraction. It's his awesomeness is yet to be seen. Our faith is in for 1,000 surprises. Our imagination will be totally overwhelmed. Our mouth will be aghast. Our minds will be dazzled. I know a lot of folks are looking forward to heaven so they can walk on the streets of gold. They're looking forward to seeing their prepared room in the Father's mansion. They're looking forward to seeing the river of life and seeing the walls of precious stones. They're not awesome. They're not awesome. I've seen beautiful rooms, and I've seen rivers that are beautiful, and I've seen streets. I've seen gold. I haven't seen streets of gold, but I've seen gold. I've seen many precious stones. But the main attraction to me I'm looking forward to is to see this thing, this diadem, this awesome quality that is our God. I want to see that splendor and that glory that God created us to see, and I have not seen it yet. To me, the sight of the awesome God will be the thrill of all eternity. The cry goes out from us in the church, lost people, you prepare to meet God. I want to add to that another cry to you Christians, you prepare to meet God. Now, we're going to meet a different God. But I mean, you prepare in your mind to be surprised. You get ready for the shock of your life. Not hell or suffering or misery, but you get surprised for the shock of your life when you first get your glimpse of the awesome diadem glory of your God. Let me give you as best as I can a foretaste of what it might be. Let me push your imagination to its limit. And then when you reach that limit, let me push your faith even to new heights beyond your imagination. Are you ready? Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through 17. John is talking. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I tell you, that's a good place to be on the Lord's day. That's a great testimony, to be in the Lord's Spirit on the Lord. A lot of folks, I'm afraid, won't be in the Lord's Spirit today at all. They'll be in the carnal flesh, or they'll be in the devil's spirit. I mean, they'll be serving him, but they won't be in the Lord's Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord wants them to be. That's what he's saying. I was where the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to be, and the Holy Spirit in me began to speak to me, and the Holy Spirit in me began to reveal to me. But I tell you, he was where he ought to have been on the Lord's day. He was where the Holy Spirit wanted him to be on the Lord's day, and that's why he got this revelation. You don't get much from God on the Lord's day or any other day if you're not where the Spirit wants you to be on that day. But John was where the Spirit wanted him to be, and the Spirit then used this revelation to excite and to give John a vision as much as possible of a human being in this life of the great majesty of God. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard some great voice as a trumpet behind me. And you couldn't miss a voice like that. That would be as loud as a trumpet. And the voice was saying, and it's God's voice, not a timid voice, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. And John says, I turned around to see where the voice was coming from me and who it was that was speaking these words. And as I turned around, I want to add this now, boy, was I shocked. I never saw anything like this. First of all, I saw seven golden candlesticks, but that's not what caught my eye. And in the midst of those seven candlesticks, there I saw a person, and it was the Son of God. And I looked at him, and he was clothed with a garment down to his feet, and he had on a golden girdle, and his head looked as though it was the hairs were like white wool, white as snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet looked like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of rushing waters over a waterfall. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth there was a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining at noonday brightness. As John got just a little glimpse of the diadem Jesus, he cried out, awesome hair, awesome face, awesome eyes, awesome voice, awesome feet, awesome face, awesome light, awesome power. My, what an awesome God. Now, I've never seen what John saw, but I tell you, as soon as he saw it, the Bible says he fell to the ground as though he was dead. And Jesus said, get up. There's nothing to fear. Now, when you get to heaven, folks, you won't have to fall down as dead. The Lord will prepare you for his glory, and you'll be able to comprehend it. But I mean, John was affected by what he saw, and John had a very close walk with Christ. And the Spirit filled John's life up to this morning. He never saw this in his whole life. And when he saw it, man, he said, awesome, awesome, awesome. There is more to God than our mind and our eyes at this moment can comprehend. We couldn't even survive the exposure today of the almighty, awesome diadem God. But part of the preparation that we'll undergo when we die is going to be preparing our eyes and preparing us to come into the full presence of the glory of Almighty God and there for the first time see His tremendous beauty and His tremendous majesty and glory. There, folks, at that moment is when you will bow your knee and say, "Awesome. I never knew God was like this. I never knew that God was so great. He and He alone is worthy of my honor. He and He alone is worthy of my eternal praise and adoration." The awesomeness of God will never cease to startle and amaze and thrill us. But at least then we'll be able to comprehend it better than now. Of all the things people to be looking forward to is that moment when you first get your opportunity to see the diadem, awesome glory of your God.